Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, happy Thursday to you. That's right, an early edition of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, and brought to you all season long by my friends that I've never met, but I'll shake their hand someday, at Bill Curry Ford. What a busy week it was for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and this is going to be a wacky podcast, I can tell you right out the gate. This is just going to be a weird one. I'm in a weird headspace. I'm going to apologize for two reasons. Number one, if you were setting your alarm clock, so to speak, by a Friday Joe Bolts Fan Podcast and you get one a day early, I do apologize. That's the day job. Number two, I have this weird sinus headache thing that I've been dealing with for 2 or 3 days, and it's been terrible. I'm medded up. I'm good enough to drive, not kind of drowsy meds, but still, my head's in all kind of weird places. We're going to fight through it together. Just like the Lightning fought through a 3-game schedule between last episode and this episode. 6 points were available to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and 6 points were procured by the Tampa Bay Lightning. As I record this, it is Wednesday night, November the 7th. I actually had to take a day off from my day job. I worked in the morning, but I went home and slept all day because I'm on a flight tomorrow morning to Chicago, Illinois. We cover Florida State sports for a living here at the ESPN Tallahassee Studios. And even though the Noles are just terrible, I mean god-awful on the football field this year, and it's going to be a whitewashing in South Bend on Saturday. If you get a chance to go to Notre Dame, you go to Notre Dame. It's like if you're in Toronto, if you get a chance to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame, you go to the Hockey Hall of Fame. So I'm looking forward to the Mecca trip, but with the sinus pressure issues I got, the cold weather and the flights, going to be interesting. Anyway, you don't care about that. You care about our Bolts. And what a sneaky week it was for Tampa Bay. A lot of news and notes. You look at the schedule as we conclude last Friday's episode, and you say, okay, back-to-back up in Canada, Montreal, Ottawa, Saturday, Sunday. You come back, you play another Canadian team, Edmonton, on Tuesday. All right, let's just see if we can hold down the fort while Victor Hedman and Andre Palat are still mending their wounds and pick up 4 points. Well, we got 6 of them, which is fantastic, but there's so much more that happened. And since this is a wacky edition, I'm going to play a little bit of music. It's music I like to hear. I'm kind of an old soul. It's George Harrison's My Sweet Lord, as I tell you, the big topics of the week, and then we'll get into them. Sans music. Yes, that is soothing music. It helps me. If I'm nasally this week, I do apologize. But we had a contract signing on Friday, just hours after the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast posted up to JoeBucksFan.com and to Google Play and iTunes. Hey now. Yanni Gourde, a 6-year extension worth a little bit more than $5.1 million per season. He's going to get $31 million over the life of the contract. And at age 26, he had some leverage. We'll talk about that later, all the ins and outs, and I'll give it a grade. But Yanni Gourde is locked up, and he's going to be a piece to this puzzle for the foreseeable future. Okay. Yanni Gourde has also played loose after that contract signing. Sometimes when guys sign contracts, they tighten up. Sometimes they settle and they relax. And sometimes they play as loose as they ever have because of the relief factor. I think Yanni falls in the latter of the three categories, scoring goals in each of the games since he signed on the line. That is dotted. Good for you, number 37. That's life-changing money. That changes your outlook for generations, for your baby that you just had. Great stuff. And he seems to be a pretty good guy, too. Congrats, number 37. Then on Saturday, okay, so we're up in Montreal. That puck drop is a little after 7 o'clock. I'll be honest. I'm watching the Noles game, and we're getting killed by North Carolina State. I mean, they're just going up and down the field, running the football down our throat. It's really frustrating. So angrily, I flip over to 402, which is Sun Sports up here in Tallahassee, and I see the pregame ceremony in which there are young people, children with cancer on the ice, standing next to Tampa Bay Lightning players, standing next to Montreal Canadiens players. And it whips you back into the right frame of mind as quickly as anything ever could. You know, I think the NHL and the NBA do a much better job than the NFL in delivering an authentic outreach program. Hockey Fights Cancer has been around with the NHL for as long as I can remember, and it's always felt authentic. I think with the NFL, you see dollars and cents. You see the monetary in every move. But that pregame ceremony in Montreal on Saturday night, that pregame ceremony in Tampa Bay on Tuesday, if you have a soul, you feel it to your core, the heart that comes with playing the sport. It's long been said by media members that hockey players are the easiest to deal with because they're the most down to earth. And frankly, I don't know how you can skate and play the game of hockey after a ceremony like what happened Saturday in Montreal. The Canadiens score right off the bat, and if I was a Lightning player, I'd ask for the fourth shift because I need to gather my emotions. Those are the true heroes. Those kids, man. And a great game was played that night. We'll touch on that too. Sunday, Ottawa. Wow. This was a tale of really two big chapters. Ottawa jumps out to a 2-0 lead. We're down again. We get the game tied. Matthew Joseph, congratulations, good sir. The old Joe Bolts fan bump, part one. I said, stop the hype. He's a really good player, but he's got to score a goal. Boom! First goal of his career to tie the game in Ottawa at 2. Congratulations, number 7. Then we take a dumb turn. We're down 3-2. Only for the most heroic regular season goal I've seen in years. Courtesy of number 1 defenseman Ryan McDonagh. I get it. Victor Hedman's out. But Ryan McDonagh with a huge play ties the game up at 3. We win it in overtime at the blink of an eye in Ottawa. And then on Tuesday, which is where I'm going to go in depth first, we'll work backwards chronologically this week. The Edmonton Oilers come to town. And for the first 15 minutes of this game, you have yourself an offensive barrage. Scores only 1-0 just before we go to intermission. But Edmonton has a bunch of chances. They're playing with a ton of speed. And the Lightning are playing with a lot of jump to open up the game. So here we go. Thank you, George Harrison. That was a nice relief for a little while. But on Tuesday night, I felt two completely different things about Edmonton, the hockey team, as the game went along. For the first period, they were a tired group. I actually watched the third period of the Oilers and Caps from Monday when Edmonton was in the nation's capital. And no goals were scored in the third period. It was 4-2 Washington. It stayed that way. No empty netters, no nothing. And I knew that Edmonton, the way that game was being skated up and down the ice, was going to be tired. I mean, they had to hop on a plane, come down to the Bay Area where the temperature is much, much hotter. And they got to be ready to play a hockey game against a rested Lightning group. And the Bolts did what they were supposed to do. They jumped all over the Oilers to begin the game. And they had one goal to show for it. Could have had 2 or 3. But complete dominance. You could see that their heads weren't in it, their legs weren't in it, and I was wondering if Edmonton was even going to show up. But the Oilers, by the end of the first period, you could see it. Connor McDavid is a breathtaking hockey player to watch. There are a couple of near misses, one of which it goes off Andrei Vasilevsky's mask off a backhand pass. It's just he sees the ice the way Jonathan Drouin does. He has the speed of Matthew Joseph, and he has the size of a power forward. When he grows in to his body frame, I don't know what you would do with that guy. It's evolution. We talk about it a lot in other sports. Think about the NBA. Before Dirk Nowitzki, nobody like that existed. Now Kevin Durant does. Now LeBron James does. He's Magic Johnson on steroids. It's just amazing to watch evolution. And if Connor McDavid played the game of hockey in the late 1970s or the whole decade of the 1980s, he would have Gretzky's records broken. That dude is a freak. If goaltending, Brian Engblom even said it on the NBC Sports broadcast, if goaltending wasn't as exceptional as it is these days, a game like Edmonton and Tampa would finish, I think he said 6-5. For my money, it would finish 12-10. A lot of action up and down the ice. The NHL continues to prove that it's the best product night to night in the regular season across all sports. There is just too much speed across the continent of North America. I fell in love with Carolina earlier this season for how much they can skate up and down the ice. We obviously are fun to watch. We haven't seen Toronto yet. They're a lot of fun. Montreal is playing very well this year. Edmonton has Connor McDavid, Draisaitl. They've got a lot of nice pieces there that can take your breath away. And it starts with number 97, who may be the best player in the league. So I was enamored with that. I was happy that we scored a situational goal in the final minute of the period. I think it was 26 seconds left or whatever it was in the first. We're up 2-0 at the break. That's about the best the result could have been for us. Vassy makes some big saves. There's one that goes through him and hits the post, and then he dives across. The shot is back kind of towards him on that McDavid pass I just mentioned, hits off his mask. So 2-0 is about the best you could have expected. We're giving up a lot of big chances in that game. Some of that is how good Edmonton is, how gifted they are. Some of that is we do miss Victor Hedman an awful lot. But you get to the second period, and then things kind of change towards the end of that period. You've got some nasty, unnecessary crap from Edmonton. Crybaby stuff. Ridiculous. You've got Zach Cassian leaving his feet for a hit on Matthew Joseph. This is on the far side of the TV angle, closer to the Edmonton bench than the Tampa Bay bench. But he comes across the ice, definitely leaves his left foot, and I think he leaves his right skate too, as he's hitting Joseph. Thankfully, number seven is heady enough to spin away at the last moment, but it's clearly out of frustration. Edmonton's pissed that they've lost against Washington, and it doesn't look like they're going to win at Amalie Arena. There's no shame in that, but that's what he does. So Cassian takes a run at one of our young players, and then towards the end of the period, you have Leon Draisaitl taking a run at Braden Point. And that was a truly dirty play. I don't know what 21 ever did to deserve that, but that's just, it's Bush League crap. It's stuff from the 70s or the 80s. And in an era in the NHL where you can't fight without the fear of a two-minute instigator penalty, it's useless. You have to police that more heavily. What did Draisaitl do? Braden Point's coming back for a change out of the offensive zone. And Draisaitl leaves his feet. Chicken wings, Braden Point in the head. It could have been a kill shot. His right skate may be on the ice, but there is no intent other than to injure Braden Point in that moment. Complete crap. Now, the headlines from the game will be about Milan Lucic and what he did in the third period. Edmonton Oilers fans will respond and say, well, what about the Matthew Joseph hit earlier in the period where he pins an Oiler to the boards? That's the wrong focus. This whole thing started much earlier in the game. Did Matthew Joseph intentionally board an Oiler? I think it was Stevens. I don't think so. If you look at where his head is, where his eyes are looking at the point of contact, he's looking up the ice. It's almost like his head is 180 from where his body is checking the Edmonton player to the boards. Could he have been guilty of a board? Absolutely. He could have been guilty of a two-minute infraction. And the officials may have missed it, and that may have escalated the situation. But I don't think that Joseph was taking a run there. I think it was just a hit. The angle was unfortunate, and he wasn't looking to finish the play. That's early on in his career, that's just not his MO. But then Milan Lucic, I mean, it's a charge, it's an instigator, it's a misconduct, it's whatever you want it to be. They end up giving him 4 minutes and a 10-minute misconduct, but there was no intent to play the game of hockey there. And I think Milan Lucic is feeling it. Obviously, he and the Boston Bruins, they beat us back in 2011 when we were, it was Game 7 of the East Finals. They go on to win the Cup. They beat the Vancouver Canucks that year in 7 games, I think it was, as well. The time for that type of player is nearly at an end. And I don't even mean because of the enforcer type part of his game. You've got to be able to skate and be an enforcer in this day and age in the NHL. Milan Lucic cannot skate the way you have to survive long term. That's why he's a role player. But he was somebody who was doing what he thought was best for his team, to stand up to this young pup rookie who's a little runt compared to you in size. I mean, it's really tough, Milan. And then you want to yell at both benches and you want to yell at Tony Cirelli. It's nonsense. So the beginning of the game, I'm enamored with what I see out of Edmonton, loving the sport. I'm saying the NHL is just so damn good, and McDavid is unbelievable to watch. And we have some guys that are, you know, really talented, but look at that dude. He's a one-man show. And by the end of it, I hate Edmonton. Now, we do play them in the next, what, 6 weeks or so? Did they say it was around Christmas? I'll take a look at the schedule. But we do play them coming up in under 2 months. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's some fisticuffs in that game. It did not look like those two teams had settled their differences by the end of it. But it just put a black mark on a game that was really exciting, that Edmonton had plenty of chances to gain the lead, score 4 or 5 goals themselves, and they just didn't. We did. And that's how we got our 5th and 6th point of the week. On the other side of the break of the Joe Boltzmann podcast brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, I'll talk a little bit about the Montreal game, but I will talk a lot about the finish of the Tampa Bay-Ottawa game and why it was something I've just never seen in my life before. And it made me go to sleep happy. I mean, when my head hit the pillow an hour and a half, 2 hours after we won that game in Ottawa in overtime, I'm still smiling like a 7-year-old. It's why the NHL is just fantastic. Sometimes it provides you things that you never expected to see. And then we'll also touch on that Yanni Gourde contract before we say goodbye for the week. Now, we'll take a short commercial break. It is one commercial, so why don't you listen to it? It's a great message from the folks at Bill Curry Ford, who sponsored the Joe Boltzmann podcast, and we'll talk to you right after this.
Bill Curry Ford is the proud presenter of the Joe Boltzmann podcast. Come enjoy the Curry experience that has served the Tampa Bay community for 58 years. Their beautiful showroom is just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. New general manager Sean Sullivan, he's a Lightning fan, a Bucks fan, and he has great savings for the Tampa Bay community. Just go to the Bill Curry Ford website, BillCurryFord.com, shop and find their transparent pricing on all vehicles, and then contact Sean Sullivan and tell him you want the Joe Bolts fan, Joe Bucks fan discount. It's that simple. You will get an additional $500 in savings, no catch, no hook, and best of all, at Bill Curry Ford, they have nationwide lifetime warranties on new vehicles and pre-owned. That's just part of buying a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. Check it out at their website, BillCurryFord.com.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin go call. You're riding the Lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Alrighty, a couple of quick observations before we get to the Yanni Gourde contract talk and break down Montreal and Ottawa. First of all, I gotta say I'm really proud of this hockey club for the balance it plays with. All four lines look really good. To the point where if Andre Palat's healthy, let's say in the next week or two, it's hard to break up the groups we have right now. Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov were looking to play together. They are playing together right now, and they're making beautiful, sweet music together. Fantastic stuff out of 91 and 86, weaving and passing back and forth. And the Joe Bolts fan bump part two, Steven Stamkos. All right. The goals come in bunches. He picks up 2 on Saturday, gets another 1 on Tuesday, and a beautiful primary assist to Nikita Kucherov when we were in the 4-on-4. Good stuff. 91 coming to life. And that's the truth of it, man. These kind of players have to carry your team. You know, Connor McDavid didn't have a big night on the score sheet on Tuesday for Edmonton, but he was their best player, and you could see how many plays he generates. He's going to be in position to score 2 or 3 goals a night. It's just the law of averages in the NHL these days say he's not going to do that, but he has to be an impact player. Stamkos and Kucherov have been that. They certainly were Tuesday, and it looks like 91's coming to life. And you know, you can tell with him to the accuracy of the shot, I think, communicates confidence with what 91 is feeling internally. And right now, his shot is pretty accurate. There was only one he missed Tuesday. It was a little high. He was in the slot. But a lot of the shots he's taking, they're just off the stick in a flash, and they're not necessarily all one-timers. And he's finding that little corner. He's finding these little slivers. And when he does that, you look up, like I said last week. There's another 3 goals this week. He's had a 5-goal week. He's had 4 more. And he's at 20 before you even blink. So good on you, 91 and 86. But then the other line I love and there's really not a catchy name for it, so this is what I came up with. Sevens and ones are wild. That's Sorelli, Alex Killorn, and Matthew Joseph. 7, 17, and 71. Sevens and ones are wild. I love you guys. You know, they're going to be a group, if you keep them together for the entirety of the season, that they can carry you offensively in a 3 or 4 game stretch. They're generating a lot of chances. They're not cashing in on all of them. Got an important goal on Sunday, the Joseph goal to tie the game, and Sorelli came damn near scoring another one right after that. But I don't think you have a JT Brown situation here where you have a bunch of guys who just don't have finishing ability. Alex Killorn has proven in the playoffs before that he does have finishing ability. And Sorelli and Joseph just need to see the puck go in the net a little bit more. But where they're getting chances, the way they forecheck, the way they disrupt transition, in a league that is built on speed, the best defense you can play is cycling the puck on offense in the offensive zone. You can prevent teams from getting out in space with full energy. It's addition by subtraction. If your third or fourth line is spending time against the opponent's number one line in their own zone, by that I mean the opponent's zone, and they can cycle for 20 to 30 seconds, well, guess what? The next time you lose the puck and opponent line number one is coming up the ice, they got to dump it behind the net and go for a change. They're exhausted. And even though this group is technically line number three, sevens and ones are wild, do a great job of disrupting the flow and momentum of the opponent's top lines. It's great stuff. And I look forward to watching them more and more this season because it looks like the synergy is only growing. This team, as I said, plays for each other and is tough. And on Sunday night against Ottawa, I think Nikita Kucherov took it a little bit too far because the awkward third goal that the Senators scored in the final few minutes, that goal was a function of not understanding time and situation. I love that Nikita Kucherov comes to the defense of Dan Girardi, who got lit up with a big-time hit by the Bolts bench, but it was a clean hit. You respond to dirty play by giving attention to it, calling attention to it, and holding somebody accountable. On the one hand, I'm really pleased that Nikita Kucherov, of all people, is willing to stand tall and be tough for a teammate. But on the other hand, time and situation, the reason Ottawa scores in that weird play where you think that maybe the refs are going to blow the whistle because of a scrum, they score because we don't get back. Stamkos jumps in and pays attention to that situation, and Ottawa's got a 2-on-1, and you're leaving Vasilevsky out to dry. We're down 3-2. And by all accounts, you should lose that game after that play. It's a mistake for the right reasons, though. It didn't happen in Game 7 of the East Finals. It's a lesson that you can teach, and I'd rather if you make a mistake, you make a mistake because you're standing up for your teammates.
Never rub another man's rhubarb.
That's right, Jack Nicholson.
Never rub another man's rhubarb.
Now, this is one of my favorite sound bites of all time in any movie. I don't know if this was in the script or if this is something that Jack Nicholson just came up with as the Joker in Batman, which came out in 1989, nearly 30 years ago. Good Christmas.
Never rub another man's rhubarb.
Double entendre on side. Or not on side. This is a hockey podcast. Double entendre aside. It's true. You don't come after something that means something to me. We stick together. We play for one another.
Never rub another man's rhubarb.
I'm going to keep coming back to that. Sorelli stands up for his teammates. Coburn stands up for his teammates. Kucherov even did, and I don't like the circumstances behind it, but it's the right thing to do, to play together. And when this season's podcast started, I said the number one thing I'm looking for is, do we play together? Are we growing to like each other and play for one another as a team? If you have a bunch of guys who are playing for themselves, it can work in short spurts, but it's not something that can hold over 80 games and 6 weeks in the postseason. You got to have something more. So on a night when you don't feel like doing it, you do it because of the player you're sitting next to. And I think two things that are really positive right now for the Bolts is you're seeing post-whistle stuff, not always fights, but you're seeing people being held accountable for coming in after Vasilevsky or coming in after one of our star players. And you're also seeing just overall a balanced output in terms of scoring and production across the team. Do Paquette, Callahan, and Ernie have to score? No. But are they generating chances in zone time? Yes. Fantastic. That's what you need them to do. Are they a physical presence when the game needs a little bit of grit? Yes, they are. Stamkos and Kucherov, are they coming alive in terms of scoring goals? Finishing? Yes, they are. Point and Gord, right? Point Gordon Johnson, to be specific with that line. Are they a top line? They shut the opponent's top line down, and they score in bunches, absolutely doing what they're supposed to do. And sevens and ones are wild. Those guys are doing great work, too. So those are the things that I've seen so far this season that I like. Saturday night, it was the Steven Stamkos and Andrei Vasilevskiy show. You get the job done in Montreal, 4-1 win. Montreal only scores in the first couple of moments of the game after the ceremonies that I mentioned before. And then we handle it on the score sheet. Montreal got a fair amount of chances. Vasilevskiy shut them away. On Sunday, here you go. We're down 2-0. Craig Anderson is making save after save after save, and you think it's just not going to be your night. This guy's going to stop 45 freaking pucks. We're going to have 20 chances in the slot. We're going to have 2-on-1s. He's sliding across the crease, making old-school saves, windmill saves. Not going to be our night. But you fight through it. You get a goal from Matthew Joseph to tie the game, and you say, yes, here we go. Only to have that 3-2 deficit pop up just before the game ends. Then you get a 6-on-4 power play with a couple of minutes to go. Obviously, the net is empty. You're in the offensive zone. You get a good sequence, bunch of saves made, and then finally, the key moment. Under 40 seconds to go, Stamkos fires a pass to Kucherov. He's at the point between the circles. He fires a puck, and it hits Ryan McDonagh in the leg. The carom runs to the blue line, and Ottawa is about to be on a 3-on-1. Only Kucherov's back. It's an empty net, and the game is over. Instead, though, despite a 99.99999 win probability for Ottawa, you got this.
Stamkos to Kucherov, blasted one, and it hit McDonagh. And what a play. They hold it in. Borbieski thought he had it. They score! Braden Point converts on the goal mouth pass. He's tied it up with 26.4 to play.
This is all Ryan McDonagh. This is unreal. Talk about extra effort and making big plays by skilled players when you have to. And Braden Point, who took one in the mouth, gets the tying goal.
Rick Peckham, Brian Engblom on the call for Fox Sports Sun. I got the clip off the Tampa Bay Lightning's official website. You know, the call doesn't do it justice. And I don't mean it's bad broadcasting. It's just you got to see it to believe it. You can hear Brian Engblom in the background go, oh, with the steal. And that's the way it felt, because there's no way. I've watched this sequence run a million times as a hockey fan, and you never see somebody steal the puck in that moment and then give his team a chance to win. But it's exactly what McDonagh did. Freeze frame it. If you can go back, just go to lightning.nhl.com and check out the clip of the tying goal. The moment after Kucherov hits McDonagh with the shot and it caroms off towards the blue line, freeze frame it. You've got a 3-on-1 and the hockey game is over. Except it wasn't. It's wins like that that have you feeling that this might be a magical season. But remember, folks, we're only in week 5 of the year. We haven't even played 20 games yet. Still in all, though, that's an emotional goal to get after a really frustrating night, the second of a back-to-back. And then when overtime starts, Braden Point puts on the afterburners, gets around Ottawa's defense, which is just becoming commonplace for Braden to put on a show with his speed. Yanni Gourde cleans it up, and you win that game. Fantastic. This has been a really good week finding different ways to win. And Yanni Gourde, the man of the hour. So here you go. A little bit of contract talk before we say goodbye for the week. This deal is for 6 years at $5.16 million per season. Honestly, when I first saw it, I thought it said that he was going to command $6 million per year for 6 years, and I thought that was ridiculous. But at $5 million, that's a little bit more palatable. You've got a crunch coming up with the cap. Maybe not this upcoming season, because you've got to sign Braden Point and a few other players. But certainly when Andrei Vasilevsky's restricted free agent contract is due in two seasons, you're going to have to make some decisions about some players that are household names right now for the Bolts, fan favorites. One or two of them has to go. Unless the cap goes way up, that's just the reality of the situation. But I thought this deal with Gord for that price is pretty good for two reasons. One, you always got to take a look at leverage in the situation. Who has the leverage for the contract negotiations? Yanni Gord had the leverage in this moment. He was an unrestricted free agent to be, so this summer he could have talked to any team he wanted to, which what does that do? Automatically raises the price for your services. He's coming off of a 25-goal season in 2017-2018. He's on pace to do something like that again this year, 20 to 25 goals. You know, hockey clubs, especially ones that are down, that are looking to emulate the successes of a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning, are going to pay a guy like Yanni Gord between $6 and $7 million a year to play for them. Would they be overpaying? Yes, but that's just the nature of how these things go. So Yanni had leverage there. The only thing that the Lightning had over Yanni was, hey, man, here's a chance to sign a long-term deal right now with a club you like. And if you get hurt tomorrow, that injury happens to a richer man than the one I'm looking at today. And so Yanni took it. He said, this is perfect for me and my family. It's an organization that I like playing for. I love the fans. I love the area. And if I can lock it up right now, I don't even want to take that risk. I don't even want to deal with it. Let's just get it done. And it's a relief and it's life-changing money. Overall, I'd say this signing is probably a B to a B plus because it does give you much less wiggle room in terms of how long you've signed Yanni Gord for, six seasons, and what you can do in the immediate with Braden Point. This keyholes you, even though Braden Point is a restricted free agent coming up this year, he's going to command between $6 and $7 million. I don't think there's no way around it. Unless he wants to take a bridge deal to become an unrestricted free agent sooner so he can have a giant payday, I don't see any way around paying Braden Point $6 or $7 million. What this does, this Yanni Gord deal does, is it sets the basement for the value of Braden Point. And Yanni Gord, the way he plays the game at 26 years old, it's not Ryan Callahan-esque where he can't move his feet because Yanni can, but he's a physical player. And I just don't know that by the end of this contract what he's going to look like night to night. Is he still going to have the jump that he has in his legs? When you play in the dirty areas of the rink, when you get in front of the net, you take hacks to the back of the leg all year long, at some point, your knees, your joints, they're going to wear down a little bit. One further note on this deal. He has a full no-trade contract, or no-trade clause, I should say, for the first three seasons, then a limited movement clause for the final three seasons of the deal. So if you get to year four or year five and you want to move on, the Tampa Bay Lightning do have some flexibility there. The good thing about this deal, bottom line, is you locked up a really talented player who can play alongside Braden Point. And Braden Point is your future. So I think what this does is it puts you in a good position to pair number 21 and number 37 together for the long term. A lot of things happening this week, Tampa Bay, aren't there? My goodness, this is a long podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed watching this week of Lightning hockey. Obviously, tonight, Thursday night, the Lightning play the New York Islanders, and they're in first place in their division. It seems like we just can't get over playing teams that are, you know, playoff-quality teams. Can't get past that, but here's another one. We do get a bit of a respite on Saturday. We play the Ottawa Senators, but they're holding strong at a 500-6-6-3 record, and then next week, here's what we're looking at before we talk to you again. On Tuesday, we travel to Buffalo. It's the first part of a four-game road trip. Then on Thursday, it is the Pittsburgh Penguins. That will be a 7 p.m. puck drop on Thursday in Pittsburgh. Hope you enjoy this week's podcast and you put up with the nasally sounds and all that kind of stuff. Bill Curry Ford sponsors this program all season long. So if you're trying to make a decision and you're saying who supports the community, well, Bill Curry Ford supports Hockey Talk in Tampa Bay. Hope you give them a visit. We'll talk to you next week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. My name is Tom Lang. It has been a pleasure. And send a thought, say a prayer, whatever it is you believe in, because I'm about to hit an airplane with a sinus problem. We'll talk to you next week.
Never rub another man's rhubarb.